Good morning. Thank Brother Nick for leading us in our singing and all the others that have participated. I think everybody's awake this morning. That was quite good singing. It's a blessing to be able to sing, isn't it? We had a sister that used to worship with us here. If I called her name, you would know her. But she told me one day, she said, if you look at me and see that I'm not singing, she said, I'm not able to do that. Her allergies were so bad that she was not able to sing vocally. All she would do would be to cough. So it is a great blessing to be able to sing, and sometimes people say, well, I don't know the notes. Well, I don't know the notes, but God didn't say you had to have notes, did he? He didn't say that. There have been plenty of congregations sing because they were just taught the song. And actually, the songbooks are a great blessing, and I'm glad that we have them, but the command was to sing, and we do that with the heart. This morning, we're going to talk about living a better life. In my judgment, is a very important lesson. We'll talk about it this evening, Lord willing. What comes to mind when I think about living a better life is I begin to see the scenes that are on the television set. I'm certain about everybody here has a television set, and you turn it on and you hear and see what people are doing, and it's sad, isn't it? Now, there are good people, far more than what we would be able to number, I'm certain. God has blessed us. But it looks like so many people have lost their way in life, and they have no concept of living a better life. You have your criminal element. You have many young people nowadays that are not studying the Bible. Oh, yes, there are some that love God, love Jesus, love the Bible. Thank God for them. But you have so many that don't have a clue. And they go to the universities, and so many of the professors do not believe in God. So they really have no compass. They have no map. They're like being out on the ocean, and they're lost. They don't know. They don't even know they're lost. But there's another thought that I have when I think about living a better life, and that is I think about Christians. I guess we could spend a whole lesson, since I've been preaching for quite a while, and we could enumerate the various things that I've seen in my lifetime. So simply say you have seen as well that everyone that is a Christian or claims to be a Christian does not always live a better life. And we all fall short at times of God's glory. Even after the old man is crucified with him, and then we arise from the watery grave of baptism to walk in newness of life, as we read in Romans 6, 3 and 4, baptized into his death, and we rise to walk in newness of life. Believe the old man is dead, but sometimes brothers and sisters in Christ go back and they pull the old dead man back out of the grave. And they start living like they used to live. And, of course, most of the time, you know, this is done in secret and not known, but it's always known by God. I'm certain that originally when I prepared this lesson, it was probably while I was teaching the book of Proverbs. Every point that we're going to make this morning and, Lord willing, this evening, we will have some scriptures from Proverbs, as well as other places in the Old Testament and in the New Testament, but mostly from the book of Proverbs. And I want to encourage you to read that book. You young people, it was written primarily for young men, young women, you're middle age, it doesn't matter. You are young people, older people, the book is full of wisdom. And there's a lot there, 31 chapters, so I would encourage you to read that and try to read it at least every year. But we begin with a great prophet, the prophet Micah. And in Micah chapter 6 and verses 6 to 8, there's some questions that are asked. He says, "Wherewith shall I come before God and bow myself before the high God?" In other words, how should I appear before God? What preparation should I make? What should I do to please God? "Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves of a year old?" Brother Tom pointed out this morning in the book of 2 Chronicles that we're not living under the old law of Moses. Some do not understand that. We're not living under that old law of Moses. Under that law, they offered the blood of bulls and goats. They offered burnt offerings. He says in verse 7, "Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams?" Think about that. Thousands. They offered rams. "Or with 10,000s of rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul?" You know, it's quite a few things there I mentioned. What do I need to do, God? And he says, "He hath showed thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee, but to do justly, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God." There's never been a time since man was created that was not the will of God. To do justly, and we see so much injustice in our world. It's always been there since they were cast out of the garden, and been a lot of injustice throughout history. To love mercy, sure could use a dose of that with all the haters today, couldn't we? Have you ever seen such a time? Even you young people, have you ever seen such a time where so many people are full of hatred? They hate the rich. Others hate the races. They hate religion. To love mercy and to walk humbly with thy God. And God will bless us when we live this kind of life. If we would just stop right there, I guess you brethren probably very happy to say, "All right, we're going to have an invitation song. It's going to be a short lesson." I might do that sometime if I knew that you would remember those three things. We might try it. But we mentioned, first of all, and these things, in many ways, when you read the book of Proverbs, some of these things, they sound like afar off. You don't hear these things taught in the schools much or universities. You might discuss the subject in a philosophy class, but even parents don't often talk about these things. But better to have wisdom than silver and gold. We have a whole world that's out there seeking riches. And actually, it's not sinful to have riches. Abraham was very rich in silver, cattle, and gold. Job was the greatest man in the East. There's nothing wrong with having riches, but there are many temptations and trials with them. But regardless of how much we might have, silver and gold representing value, in Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 13, he says this, "Happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding." I think if you ask people, you ask an individual, say, "Do you want to be happy?" Most would answer yes. I've got to say, knowing some people, that they may very well answer no, but almost everyone would answer yes. So here he says, you find wisdom. You get understanding. Well, now what do you mean to find wisdom? Well, have you ever found anything? Have you ever lost anything? You're going to have to search. You're going to have to put some effort in. How do you get understanding? Well, how do you get it? You have to work at it. Understanding carries the ideal that you can put things together in your mind, and you can reason, and you can take knowledge and then wisely use it. As all those things are connected with our understanding, and God has given mankind a great understanding. We have a little Chihuahua, and she amazes me with her understanding. So she also amazes me with what she doesn't understand. The animal kingdom is not like man created in the image of God. We have this blessing to understand and to find wisdom. He says, for the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof than fine gold. She is more precious than rubies. Any of you have rubies? If you have a ruby, bring it in. I'd like to see the rubies. More precious than rubies, and all the things thou canst desire are not to be compared unto her. So wisdom, it makes you happy. Silver, gold, riches, money, whatever you got, physical things in this world, there's no comparison. Now you're going to need wisdom. Everybody here needs wisdom. You're going to have some. Our young people are going to have some hard decisions. How are you going to make those decisions? You want to make them wisely. He says, length of days is in her right hand, in her left hand riches and honor. See, there's nothing wrong with gaining wealth. We have some society, and I'm not going to be overly preaching on it, but we have some in our society, I will say, and they are against that. But there's nothing wrong with going out and working and then having a profit. So he says in verse 17, her ways are the ways of pleasantness, that is wisdom. All her paths are peace. How many people want peace? I think people are looking for peace and don't even know it. He said, she is a tree of life to them that laid hold upon her, and happy is everyone that retaineth her. You have to retain, you have to get, and you have to keep wisdom. Solomon, we've studied about him this morning. And God blessed him with wisdom that no one else ever had, nor quite had since, except for the Son of God, who was perfect in wisdom. But then Solomon went astray. Solomon had all that wisdom, so you could go astray from it. In Proverbs 8:10-11, receive my instruction and not silver, and knowledge rather than choice gold. For wisdom is better than rubies, and all the things that may be desired are not to be compared to it. When was the last time you thought about wisdom? I do know that we have people here pray for wisdom. I know that. And I would encourage all of you to pray for wisdom. In Proverbs 13:20, he that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. Now, we witness this. Yeah. We witness this all the time, don't we? So many people have companions that are ungodly and are foolish. And they get in that crowd, and how are they going to act? They're not going to live a better life. They're going to live like their friends. But he says, he that walketh with wise men shall be wise. Let me ask this question. Is there anyone here that doesn't know somebody that is wise? We are blessed, in my judgment, in State Street with some wise people. I believe our elders are wise. There are others here that are wise. Hopefully all of us are. But there are people that have wisdom. And those people we should go to. And when you have a problem, don't be afraid to discuss it. Don't be afraid to read the Bible about it or pray about it. But use the knowledge that people have. In Proverbs 16:16, how much better is it to get wisdom than gold, and to get understanding rather to be chosen than silver? You notice that these things are said more than one time. We have a repetition of this in the book of Proverbs. James 1:5, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. Upbraideth not means that God doesn't reproach us for that. God doesn't feel like that we don't deserve it or don't need it. God wants to bless us with wisdom. Say, how does he do that? I would argue, number one, through his word. Number two, in a providential way. And reading the things that we've just mentioned about being with the older people or the wiser people, generally they're older. But in Proverbs chapter 6, Solomon says, go to the ant, thou sluggard, consider her ways and be wise. That's observation. You can learn and have wisdom just by observation. Does anybody here have a history book? Have a history. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand. If you don't have one, get one, okay? I encourage everybody to read history. Why? Because you can learn from history. One of the problems with our nation right now is that we have people that have no knowledge of history. They have no knowledge of world history. They don't have a knowledge of our own nation. And that's so sad because there are so many precious things to learn about it. And very often they are told about the weaknesses and the sins of our founders. Well, what's new about that? You think there are any weaknesses or sins in our current Senate? Do you think there are any weaknesses and sins in our current House of Representatives? Or the Supreme Court? Or the governors? Are there any sins? Are there fallible people out there? So are we going to abandon what we have and been blessed with because Thomas Jefferson did something bad on a certain day? I'll tell you one thing. If you read about Jefferson, history, he'll speak highly of it. Well, that brings us to this point. Better to be godly rather than to have great treasures. Now, this is very similar. But now we have shifted the gears from a wisdom to being a godly person. So what does it mean to be a godly person? It means that you have a reverence for God, a reverential fear and of God Almighty, and you honor God. You realize that He is called the Most High God. He is called our Father, which art in heaven, talking about His children. So He says that this is better. And it would be better for those out there in the world that have lost their way if they were godly. But they are ungodly. They're the opposite of godly. And so they do ungodly deeds. That's just the way it is. When you leave here today, I want you to think about this. How can you live a better life? Do you want to live a better life? We'll put this right there in it. Live a godly life. Live a life where you believe, honor, worship, and adore the true living God. He is our Creator. In Proverbs 15 and 16, better is little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure and trouble therewith. These Proverbs, like Proverbs 15 and 16, in my judgment, if you were to write that down and just take and study that one proverb and think about it, it will relieve a lot of fears. Because I will say that most people are kind of, if they don't say it, deep down they're kind of worried about having enough money. And we got young people, they're kind of doing that. And then we got older people, and they're doing that. And I assume some in between, and they're worrying about not having a lot. And yes, at times I've been guilty of it. But he says it's a better is a little if you have the fear of the Lord. Couldn't all of us live with less? Couldn't we live with less? I know this. If I look out in the congregation, I see a lot of, I would say, middle age and up that are married. And you had a whole lot less probably when you got married, right? I think we had, I can't remember. I wish I could. I can't remember whether it's $40 or $60 when we got married. But it's enough for that week. Didn't bother us. That was enough for that week. And you know, God tells us, give us, we're to pray, give us this day our daily bread. One day at a time. So maybe we lose everything. That's something to be afraid of. Job lost everything. You can lose everything. God gave him back double. Isn't that something? So we have worries about things like that. But really what he's telling you, you want to live a better life, fear God. Have a reverence for God. Be a godly person. In 1 Timothy 6, 6 through 8, and I would encourage you to read the entire chapter, but he says in verse 6, but godliness with contentment is great gain. How many people are really content? Christians should be content. We have been blessed. That doesn't mean that you don't work hard, strive to do better, and perhaps even to get better financially. That wouldn't be condemned in the Bible. But to be content and satisfied with what you have, he says, for we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. I like old cars and old trucks. I like antiques. I get pictures of them sent to me. I don't do any research on them. Many years ago, when my son was with us, we dealt with the old trucks and old cars, and I do like them. But no matter how many you have and how nice they are, you can't take them with you. And that's true of the newer ones too. You're not going to take anything with you. He says, having food and raiment, let us be there with content. I know Paul said this. He's writing to Timothy the preacher. And it certainly was in the first century. But wouldn't this be true today? Having food and your clothing. Food and clothing. Let us be therewith content. In Philippians 4:11, Paul says in another place here, not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. If you read 2 Corinthians chapter 11, you will find a list of things that he went through. It'd be hard for us to say we're content with all of those troubles that he had, but he said, I have learned to be content. So it's something we have to learn. And maybe you don't have a lot. You don't have a lot. I will say this, the happiest people that I've known in the church, most of them don't have a lot. I've known very happy ones that do, but most of them, they don't have a lot in the eyes of the world. In Colossians 3, 1 and 2, here's the New Testament again. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. Primarily, our affection should be set upon God and heavenly things and spiritual things. That is to be godly. And that's more than treasure. In Proverbs 16 and 8, better is a little with righteousness than great revenues without right. But of course, there are many people that they don't agree with that. They don't live like that. They're not willing to make that choice. It may be a time that you have that choice, that you're going to have little. You younger people, in my judgment, you probably will see that somewhere along the way where maybe you're going to have to take another job, to be honest. It does happen, and maybe it'll be less, but God will bless you. In Psalm 37:16, a little that a righteous man hath is better than the riches, I like this, of many wicked. He could have said the riches of the wicked, but he said, you know, you just got a little bit, but you're a righteous person, you're a godly person, and he said, that is better than the riches of many wicked. There's a lot of money out there in wickedness, is there not? In Matthew 6:19-21, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. I think I pretty much have seen everything he's talking about there. If you've never had things stolen out of your home or your car or something, I don't wish it upon anybody, but it's not a good feeling. And it's not a good feeling to go into your closet and the moths. Now, what they do is they lay eggs in there. They lay eggs in there. And then end up you get the holes in your nice garments. But he says, you lay up for yourself treasures in heaven. There's a bank up there. He says, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. It will not be some physical silver or gold, but there will be blessings. We lay it up like treasure up in heaven. We would say this morning, it's not what we have, but what we do with what we have. It's not just like how much do we have, but what do we do with what God has blessed us with. I have received many blessings and support on numerous occasions from people that didn't have a lot. And I have been blessed by those that had more, and they've blessed us as well. I'm talking about when you don't have any money. There are times you don't have any money, and people will come and bless you. That brings us to our third point. You can relax, rejoice. You are going to leave a little early this morning, so remember these points. Better to be rebuked than to be lost for all eternity. You know, the Bible commands and charges preachers to rebuke sin. And to reprove. Reprove means to show one his faults. Rebuke is somewhat of a stronger word. None of us like to be rebuked. I don't like it. You wouldn't like it. But we have to be rebuked from the Word of God from time to time. That's our responsibility, and actually we shouldn't have to have the preacher do it. We ought to just read the Bible, and then we look in the mirror of the Bible, and we say, this is what I did. This is wrong, sinful, God. And you pray to, as a Christian, you pray to God and ask Him for forgiveness. But sometimes a friend will rebuke us, and it's a proper thing. And we're talking about if we do something outrageous or sinful that somebody needs to correct us, that's all right. Do you have a friend like that? If you got a friend like that, you better stick with them. In Proverbs 27 and 5, very short verse. You memorize it today. Open rebuke is better than secret love. In other words, if you got maybe it's a father or a mother. Maybe it's a grandfather, grandmother. And they see something that's not right, and they say, this is wrong. That's better than having this love and say, oh, I just love them so much, I'm not going to tell them. And you've got a friend, and the friend is taking drugs. Tell them to get off it. Offer to help them. They've got places in Johnson City. Go to detox. There are all kinds of places that can help people to get off of drugs. The best thing is don't touch them. In Proverbs 27 and 6, this is exactly what we're talking about. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. What are the wounds of a friend? That's when a friend is telling you, you know, I had someone tell me when I was younger. This is before I was a Christian. I didn't do it, I'll be honest, I didn't do it in public, but when I was with my friends, I had a foul mouth. And one of my friends, he was going to worship in at that time, and he corrected me on that, and he said, have you ever, I don't know exact words, but it was basically, have you ever really listened to all what you've been saying and how you've been talking? And I wasn't even a Christian, but I tried to do better. I visited a man since living here. It was probably, I'm just going to guess, maybe 20, 24 years ago, maybe 23, long time ago. It was early on. And he had worked under General Eisenhower. He told me that General Eisenhower had a very foul mouth. I have always looked up to him. His mom and dad were Christians. I've always looked up to him. But he said that when he was alone with him upon one occasion, he asked permission to speak, and he talked to him about that and said, you know, you are such an important man. People are looking up to you. People respect you and honor you. You are a great person. But he said, the mouth is so foul. He told him that he would try better. And the man told me that he did. He said he did, that he made an effort to do better, and he did. I was told that man didn't know what he was talking about, but I believe he did. I had another one that I met, and he was a congressman, and he worked directly under Eisenhower and helped prepare for D-Day, so I had no reason to question that man. The point is, if that's your problem, straighten it up. You know, you can be lost over the mouth. Be lost over what we say. In Ecclesiastes 7 and 5, it is better to... I didn't read the end of Proverbs 27 and 6. I'm going to explain something to you, brethren. This is a good time since we're going to leave a little early. That sometimes I will leave something out or say something. You keep reading, it's in the Bible, okay? I'm not going to be saying something that's not. I may get the wrong reference or something. You keep reading. But I want you to know that when I leave this building, probably 90% of the time, it will come to me, I left that out. It happened up there at Shady, a statement that I made. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. Think about that. Kisses of an enemy. They seem so good to you, but they're your enemy. They're deceitful. And then this next one. This is Ecclesiastes 7 and verse 5. It is better to hear the rebuke of the wise. That tells me that wise people who love other people will at times correct them. It may be a relative. It may be a child. It may be a husband or a wife. But he says it's better to hear the rebuke of the wise, and I really like this, than for a man to hear the song of fools. What terminology there, how the Bible is written. You got the rebuke of the wise, and then you got the fools out there singing to you. Isn't that something? And then Proverbs 28 and 23, he that rebuketh a man. Now, this is not done in a callous way, okay? You don't have to be callous with it. You don't have to be mean with it. He says, he that rebuketh a man afterwards shall find more favor than he that flattereth with his tongue. We read in the book of Galatians that there was a time that the Apostle Paul had to rebuke Peter. You say, but Peter was inspired. Yes, he was. But he had a life to live just like us, and he was subject to sin. And he was rebuked by the Apostle Paul. And when you get to Peter's last epistle, last letter, he refers to the Apostle Paul as our beloved brother Paul. I don't think he got mad at all. Simon Peter was a great man. He was a good man. And those were the kisses, not of an enemy, but it was the rebuke of a friend, someone that loved him. If you have been rebuked by the word in some way, we've talked about what Micah said, do justly, love mercy, walk humbly with God. If you haven't been doing that, then we hope that you will repent. Sometimes I've held meetings, and the people will say afterwards, I'm sorry you didn't have any responses. Well, how would anybody know that? We're doing something as children of God privately. We go to God, and God will forgive us. But it could be 10 or 15 people that respond to the lesson. As a matter of fact, we all respond in that, what do we want to do? Live a better life. If you're not a Christian, that's the best life to live. No better life, greater life than being a Christian. On the day of Pentecost, remember he preached on Christ. He was crucified. He said, you have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain. Did you notice that song that we sang before we got up here started off about the blood? And now we're going to sing one and we're going to end with the blood. You can't be saved without the blood. But Peter told him, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. Ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost or Holy Spirit. If you're not a Christian, become one. If you've gone astray, come home as we stand and as we sing.